The Public News Service Daily Newscast, December the 30th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. More money is on the way to help New Mexico communities recover from the largest wildfire in the state's history.
The 2022 Hermit's Peak Calf Canyon fire began on April 6th when the U.S. Forest Service lost control of a prescribed burn. It scorched some 534 square miles of national forest, Pecos wilderness, and private land, taking out 900 structures in its path, including several hundred homes. Senator Martin Heinrich says when Congress passed the appropriations bill this month, nearly $1.5 billion in aid was included to help northern New Mexicans recover from wildfires and subsequent flooding.
We're just going to keep working to make sure that all of those communities in places like Mora and Guadalupita and Las Vegas and others can rebuild in a meaningful way, can have clean water, can do the things that they need to do to keep those communities strong.
Some of the money will go toward repair and replacement of the Las Vegas, New Mexico water treatment facility. The financial boost is in addition to the $2.5 billion in aid from the Hermit's Peak Calf Canyon Fire Assistance Act approved earlier. I'm Roz Brown.
The omnibus spending bill also provides necessary congressional authorization for a constitutional amendment New Mexico voters approved last month to tap into the land-grant permanent fund for early childhood education funding. But in states like Minnesota, organizers feel that involving more local voters in outreach helps now and in the future.
The recent midterm election saw Minnesota Democrats retain the governor's office and gain full control of the legislature. But it wasn't all because of victories in urban areas. The DFL held or flipped certain seats in places outside the Twin Cities where it wasn't expected. Todd Lippert of the Faith in Minnesota Rural Organizing Project points to volunteers living in townships having political conversations with their neighbors.
The conversation centered on asking neighbors what they cared about. And we live in a time where there are very few trusted messengers.
He says neighbors in rural areas can talk about issues like education, funding, and childcare without identity politics getting in the way. Lippert says organizers hope to scale up this approach in future election cycles. However, Republicans still have strong support among voters outside the Twin Cities. That was shown in the race for governor despite the DFL win. I'm Mike Moen.
And from CNBC, U.S. health officials and the WHO have called on China to share more information on the spread of COVID in the country. The U.S. in particular is worried that a new COVID variant could emerge in China. They report the CDC on Wednesday announced new testing requirements for airline passengers whose trips originate in China. This is Public News Service. The new year begins with the prospect of big changes to the Montana State Constitution drafted by GOP lawmakers and opposed by conservation groups. Jean Marie Suve with the Montana Conservation Voters and Education Fund says lawmakers are irritated that the state Supreme Court found two laws unconstitutional, which she says allowed for pollution to degrade the Blackfoot River and Paradise Valley.
In both cases, the environmental damage could have been irreversible, and the remedies too late to make a difference, threatening both those landscapes.
While close to 50 bill requests have been made before the legislature gavels in next week, typically only about a third of them become bills that can be debated by lawmakers. As rising temperatures and declining rainfall make traditional turf grass lawns harder and harder to maintain, prairie lawns, which use plants native to Nebraska and the Great Plains, are gaining in popularity.
Benjamin Vogt with Monarch Gardens says prairie lawns, which can thrive without huge amounts of water and fertilizer, are far more sustainable and less harmful to the environment than traditional lawns. He says their other great advantage is their positive impact on wildlife.
Wildlife that literally sustain our lives, like pollinators. Pollinators provide around roughly one-third of the food we eat. They're essential to pollinating crops and, of course, wildflowers and producing seeds and berries and all those good things that we eat. Giving them the plants they need, native plants that are part of the local ecoregion, is critical.
Jeff Carney with Campbell's Nurseries in Lincoln agrees, calling the vast majority of traditional lawns a colossal waste of resources with water so scarce in Nebraska. Every year, lawns across the country require roughly 3 trillion gallons of water, 200 million gallons of gas, and 70 million pounds of pesticides to maintain. I'm Deborah Van Fleet.
Finally, our Edwin J. Vieira tells us the Environmental Protection Agency is investing $14.3 million in green jobs training for the state of New York.
A large portion of this money comes from the EPA for brownfields job training. $2 million comes from the bipartisan infrastructure law. The hope is to ensure a strong environmental benefit while providing more economic opportunities to underserved areas. Lisa Garcia with the EPA says people can learn job skills while participating.
The job training program allows a variety of certifications where they learn valuable and really high-level skill sets, which include lead and asbestos abatement, hazardous waste operations and emergency response, mold remediation, like I said, environmental sampling and analysis.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. Remember, and listeners support it. You can hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.